our Christmas series, and I'm not going to tell you where to turn the Bible, because we'll have a lot of different scriptures, and they'll be up there. I appreciate Kevin doing the slides this week. Julie and Dan are out visiting family in Washington, D.C., so be in prayer for them during this time. I titled this sermon, The Light of Christmas, and why do you like to go? We haven't gone to Silver Dollar City yet, looked at the Christmas lights, but we like doing that, and then out in Rogersville off of B Highway, this really awesome light display, and we need to go out there too. They've got a bunch of inflatables, and what makes it fun is there's a bakery there too, so it's like pastries, lights, inflatables. It's just, and you drive through, so you just grab a croissant. No, you don't drive through, you stop. But anyway, so what's interesting today, first I want to ask a question. If you were a light, what would it be? How well would you work? What color would you put out? And how well would you shine? Now, you'll see today, we're thankful. We've been in the process of moving and putting the house together. It has good bones. It was her parents' house and just had to fix stuff. And one of the things that wasn't working for years were lights outside of the house. I'm not talking about Christmas lights. I'm talking about just your basic, I don't want to trip, and it's pitch black in the middle of the country kind of thing. And I remember when our middle son, my wife and I were married at this house, and our brother was married there, and our oldest son, and our middle son, some of you guys came to the wedding, and if you want to know if Alan, one of your deacons, can dance, he can. Because the rest of you guys left, and those of you that didn't come, we were freezing. It was May. It was outside, and we were freezing. But after everybody left, I guess we warmed up because we were dancing, having a great time, and Alan's got some moves there. But anyway, I remember when we were trying to pick everything up, we couldn't see anything. It was pitch black all the way around that house. And it's a huge area. There's a lot of steps. When you got terraces, that's a potential, and that's our insurance agent on fall potentials. We won't get into that. But anyway, it's pitch black. So one of the main things when we moved there, and maybe a little obsessed, is I wanted to make sure that the house was lit all the way around, not so that you could see it, so you can see when you're outside. And also, for those of you that carry, it's kind of good to have shooting angles. We won't get into that. But so anyway, when I went hunting this year, I don't know if Lou noticed it, but when we went down to our hunting spot, and I noticed I'd never been able to see the house from my hunting spot. It's that lit up now, which is nice. So the one bastion or thing that was left, and I don't have to tell you about this. My wife says I've obsessed about it. But I've obsessed about it because I don't want you to sue us. But anyway, for years they had this giant porch light that worked. That's what a porch light does. And then went out. Instead of maybe looking into fixing it, it just was black out there. And so Heather, for years, because healthcare workers would come in, she had to go get spotlights, run extension cords to shine the light on. And so when we moved to the house, one of the first things was, hey, let's fix that porch light. And so put new bulbs in it. The electrician looked at it. I don't know what he figured out. It was working, and it was nice. It was bright. You could see everything. And then you'd be home, and it'd be bright, go out. Bright, go out. Bright, go out every 30 seconds. And for some of you that might be epileptic, that might help you, may not. I don't know. But anyway, so we had him look at the light. We go on Amazon. That light's not going to work. We really like the light. It goes with the house, whatever. We take it down. We order something on Amazon. And this light's this big, and the light on Amazon's this big. And then when you put it on, the switch is even going to be off tonight. You're going to have spotlights to see the steps so you don't sue us. But anyway, that light, when I come home after the electrician put it in, it is so short and has a base, it shines no light down on the porch. It makes the window where there's a lit Christmas tree look really good, but it does nothing else. And so after I called the electrician, I said, why can't we take the old light and strip the guts out and restore it, because we know it works. So he said, why does he say all that? And then you're all going to be looking, yeah, that light, okay. Because that's how we are. You're designed for a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're going to be empty until you find him. And He doesn't throw out the light. You can't even find that anymore. The electrician, I met him in town, gave him the thing. He's going to restore it the whole bit, and we'll have good light. But everybody here without Christ is trying to shine something else other than Christ and trying to fill their life when we're made for a relationship with God to be restored. It's not going to cut it. You're not going to be able to see enough. And Christmas is a time of lights. And if we relate spiritual darkness, we know that we live in a dark world and it's hard to see. There's a lot of lights. There's a lot of things to follow. And when Satan was the angel of light, guess what? He's going to make it look like it's something good. But God doesn't want what's good for you. He wants what's best. And so we struggle. Well, that looks right. I can see a little bit, and we all know the difference between LED and the old lights that we used to do, and then you get into Christmas lights, we'll get into that, and there's a big difference in how you can see things, but when you get the right light, you can see. But we're satisfied with warm lights that make us feel good instead of the clear purity of the gospel of God's light that we can see clearly in our relationship and our relationship with God. So we struggle to see, well, is that of God or is that not? Should I go this way because there's a light over here, or should I avoid that? And we can choose to follow a light, or we can choose to follow the light. And so your action step today is follow the light of Christ. Shine. And your points will spell out the word light. And we see this in the Christmas story with the wise men in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of the King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who had been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." You know, when we're in heaven forever, I know it's not going to matter, but it'd be cool to kind of talk to the wise men and say, "Hey, when did you see the star rising? How long did you follow?" Because, guys, it wasn't the fact of, "Hey, I saw it, tomorrow we're going over there." And the fact that they were probably Jewish ancestry that had been in exile from the Babylonian captivity, and that they had read the scriptures or seen the prophet, and they were searching for the right light. They saw it rising. They saw it at its rising. And they come to worship him. We all have a God-shaped heart. A hole in our heart that only he can fill. Why is this light important? Why is Christmas important? Matthew 4:16 says this: "The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Because of the situation we're in, we're without life. We live in darkness. We live in spiritual darkness. And that means not seeing. That means not knowing. That's not having God. And all you have to do is go back to Genesis 1 and 2, we're pretty good, and then 3, we lose it, and the rest of the whole Bible is about Christmas coming, and Easter, and the light, and the spiritual darkness. You're created for a relationship, you're given a choice. Adam and Eve chose self, and then we have the fall, and we have hopelessness, and that man is condemned to death, hell, and the grave. No freedom out of that. And in the middle of 3, God begins his promise of saying, "I'm going to send a Savior, Jesus. I'm going to send a light in this time of darkness." And then you get to Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. This is the end of the Old Testament. The last thing God says through his prophets: "Look, I'm going to send you a prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of their children to their fathers. Otherwise, it will come and strike the land with a curse." Centuries, thousands of years, they had dealt in darkness since Genesis. And the very end of the Old Testament, God says, "I'm sending a prophet," talking about John the Baptist. And that you've been sitting in darkness, the part of the Christmas story that John is going to be coming, and that he's going to proclaim the coming of the Lord, which is Jesus. He sends a prophet to proclaim before the day of the judgment, to turn families towards each other, to turn families towards God, or he'll come and strike the land. Who was this light? John 1, verses 1 and 4 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. And all things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that had been created. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You go back to verses 1 and 2. You have cults, the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Yes, they are, because a cult, if Jesus is not fully God, fully man, if he is created, he is not God. And so if you think that Jesus is created, then what do you do with John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, when he says, in the beginning was the Word, talking about the living Word, Jesus Christ, and he was with God, and in case you're doubting, if he is God, and he was God. And he was at the beginning, and he was with God at the beginning, and all things were created through him, and apart from him, nothing can be created. He is the God incarnate, God in the flesh. And so he's the living Word, he's eternal, he's the creator of all, and notice verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, a lot of false lights that will flicker out, but not the life and the light that Jesus gives. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of light to all. And he is the eternal light. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He came not created. He is God, and he always will be. So what does the light do? John 1:9 says this, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. We don't think of John at this part as much about Christmas, but this is the eternal part of who Christ is, that he is the true light that gives light, and he's coming into this world. He's arrived, he's done his part, he's ascended, and when he comes back, it's going to be too late. And so we need to remember that. And so he is the true light that provides light for all. John 14:6, he said this, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Christ is the only way. Christ is the only truth. Christ is the only life. So your first villain, Christ said he was the light. Christ is the light of the world. Now let's think about this for a minute. The older you get, maybe it's hard to see when stuff is dark. Can you pull that phone out or whatever you're trying to do? But you always want something where you can see where you're going. And I'm always watching kind of now for little trip hazards and all that kind of stuff, because my recovery time takes a little bit longer, okay, if I get hurt or whatever. But what we're seeing here is there's a lot of lights that do okay, but what's wrong with the original light? That you can see everything. That guides you. That's the living Word of God, a light to my path, and that's Jesus. So what does this light do? John 1:5 says this, the light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. I've talked about this before at Silver Dollar City, but if you go through Marvel Cave, we haven't gone through in a while, so I'm sure we'll be going through again sometime with grandkids when they're older. But, you know, the guy Red Shepherd of the Hills, the kid's still kind of, I'm not afraid of the dark, okay? But living in a cabin down there in that cave for several weeks or whatever, I guess that's what he did. I'm not doing that. Okay? A little bit of light. And so there's a part, I want to ruin the cave tour for you. Okay? But there's a part in the cave tour where they shut out all the lights. And he turns one little one on and shows the power of that. And you're trying to sleep and then there's some little light on somewhere, right? Shine, or it's out on your porch doing this, okay, and you're awake. Okay, anyway, but that's why you have those dark out shades or whatever, okay, but so it shines in the dark world, cannot be overtaken. So your next feeling is this, we follow the light because in a dark world, he can't be overcome. This is where a lot of you are right now. One way or another, in your actions or your not, and your lack of action, or in practicing your faith, you're saying God can't overtake whatever this darkness is in my life. Again, Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. They can be pushed upon, because the devil wants to get you to the point where you go to these lesser lights instead of you walking in the light. And if you're going to follow Christ and you're going to walk in His light, people are not going to like it. Because they're going to say, no, please go over here because this light is softer. We can see less of the real sin that we're talking about. And everybody looks okay. It's amazing when my contact isn't in or something like that, or my glasses aren't on, or the lighting's right, everybody looks great. But when you get the LED that is the laser focused, and it's like, hey, I see a reason why makeup is there for some people. You know, those kind of things, you know? You see what I'm saying? That society doesn't want you to have the light of Christ, because the light of Christ says, if our righteousness is as filthy rags, then when Christ shines his light on us, says, you can't be good enough. You need me. So, F for saving. And so, we have to realize that in a dark world, he can't be overcome. You may be pressed upon. You may be in a dark place. But then you go to the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. That I can sit down and eat a meal in the presence of my enemies. That's walking in the light. That's abiding. That's staying so close to Christ. The result of the light, you can see, you can follow, you can have the light of life. And the goal is to illuminate the minds of humanity. John 8:12 says this. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here is why I'm convinced Christians struggle most of the time. They don't want to follow the light. That's too hard. I can see clearly what you're going to want me to do, God, and somebody's not going to like it. Maybe friends, maybe family. I may have to speak up. I may have to step out of my comfort zone. I keep saying it. Wednesday nights, we're learning about how to have conversational evangelism and talk to people, but this is one of those areas that if you build a relationship with somebody, there's going to be a point where they're going to ask a question, or God's going to lead you to shine a light on something that's been soft and fuzzy and not clear. I am convinced most of the time when we feel like we don't know what to do, we just don't want to follow what God's clearly shining his light on. He says, never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does that look like when everywhere else around you is dark and you see light? It's encouraging. Just a little bit of light helps you see. And that's what you are, Christians. And we're to shine. Follow the light, never walk in darkness, have the light of life, which is Christ. We are born again with new life in Christ. John 1:13 says this, who were born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but born of God. This is why it doesn't matter where you come from ethnically or anywhere, we can be brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're born again. Born again into a spiritual birth. We've had the light of Christ shine in our lives. Your next villain. Following the light produces genuine life. He's the light of the world. In the dark world, he can't be overcome. And he provides genuine life. Again, we're seeing a lot of counterfeit life. We're seeing a lot of life that, yeah, this is great for a season, but it leaves me empty. And how many go on to the next thing? But real life, genuine life, is life that is found only in Christ. The choice is to go toward the light, and everything we've been taught, don't go towards the light, you know. But the choice, and even in society, if you're going to follow Christ, you have a lot of people saying, no, you can't follow him that clearly. Yeah, you can. What happened when the light came? We see this in John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. They didn't recognize, they didn't know the light. It was not ignorance, but it was rejection. Let's talk about this for a minute. He's talking about, we talk about the importance of Israel and why we should support Israel. Everybody that's in Israel, whether if they're of Jewish descent, doesn't mean they're going to heaven. They have to recognize Christ as Savior. But still, the blessing of God is on the nation of Israel. And again, if they do bad things, you call them on that too. But I'm saying the blessing of God is on Israel. And it's been proven over and over again, any nation that does not support Israel ceases to have a blessing upon it. You can see that with England when they refused to recognize Israel when they became a nation. And the fact that it was said of the English Empire that the sun never sets, and then it began to shrink and continue to shrink and all those kind of things. And he said, but what I want you to understand here, this verse, he's talking about the Jews, and it goes beyond that. The Jews
had and knew the Messiah was coming, and they missed it. And so now what we need to realize here is we can miss it. It's not about us being in church. It's not about wherever you're coming from. I hate that I have to remind us, but Christmas is about Christ. There is a lot of fun stuff, but most of it has been added to get away from the meaning of Christmas. Christ Mass. Jesus came to save us. And so therefore, you can't have a holiday that recognizes and shines the light that we're not okay. And the whole reason for this is the fact that man sinned in Genesis and we were destined to hell. And God gave us the greatest gift that he could give, his son, as a ransom for us. Guys, you got to get that cross. You got to read that Christmas story. You got to do whatever. I don't mean hit people over the head, but stop watering down. Stop adding to the Christmas story. Yeah, there's a ton of fun stuff. And I'm going to put a copyright on this. But yeah, I've got a children's book someday, Marty the Mantle Mouse. He comes on Christmas Day to see if the kids like their gifts. And then he writes it down to see if Santa, the next year, this kid was bad and didn't like their gifts. You know, that kind of thing, all right? And I made a song about it and the whole bit. But I don't recognize him as Lord. I really don't recognize that. This made any difference. This is just something people do in the midst of these holidays. They didn't recognize it, and some were ignorant because you have general revelation. And okay, let's go to those that are ignorant. Ignorant does not mean that you're dumb. You just don't know. And I'm ignorant about a lot of stuff. And I like to be ignorant about some stuff. Okay? But here's the deal. You have general revelation that says there's some type of intelligence. There are so many formation stories that you see throughout the world that there is some kind of intelligence. But special revelation is God sending his son and what he's left you Christians with to say, hey, this is what Christmas is about. This is what this gift is about. That you have a God-shaped hole in your heart that only he can fill. And so when you get to that point and you know that there's a God and you choose to reject it, then you got a problem. John 1, verse 11 says this, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. That's why I was talking about Israel. And it's kind of interesting, he did exactly all the prophecies. And we talked about the odds of him fulfilling one. Bethlehem is the house of bread. And then Jesus in John 6:35 calls himself the bread of life. How cool is that? The bread of life, which bread was, for since we got in the gluten thing and all this kind of stuff, bread was a substance, a staple. And so when Jesus calls himself the bread of life, he is the core for us to have eternal life. So the bread of life is born in the house of bread of Bethlehem. And then we talked about a couple of weeks ago the fact of the invitation that in Matthew 22:14 that many are called but few are chosen, because whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but you have to choose to follow the light, not a light. So what happens with this? John 1:12 says this, but to all who receive him, he will give them the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Everyone's invited. We'll have a time of invitation here in a little bit. If you don't know Christ, come forward or talk to us afterwards. That everyone is invited. And if you accept that invitation, you have the right to be called a child of God. Here's another misnomer. It drives me nuts. Not everybody's a child of God. Show that. Right here's a scripture that will refute whatever bad theology you've learned so far. But we're being taught that we're all God's children. Even Elvis says it in Blue Christmas, and I do like how he says it, but it's theologically wrong. Santa knows we're all God's children. Boy, that goes bam like that, okay? You're not a child of God. You're his creation. You're the top thing, creation. You're the only thing he wanted to redeem. You have to choose to go to the light, receive the light, receive Christ, and then he gives you the right to become a child of God. Those who believe in his name will receive and believe and become a child of God. Your next villain, fall in the light, we have become children of the light. See, in American Christianity right now, a lot of you guys are trying to be glowworms. Some of you are old enough, you remember the glowworms. You know, some of you got them. If you still have them in working condition, that's interesting. But anyway, guess what the glowworm did?
it glowed, and it was like a caterpillar. It was green. It just had this nice little glow, and I didn't have one. No, it was for girls. Okay, whatever. All right, but you know, but some of you in Christianity want to be a glowworm. Maybe they'll see Christ in me, but I don't want to know I'm a Christian because it's not politically correct. They're just going to lump me in with all these other people. It's not about politics, guys. It's about following God. It's not about following a party. It's about following God. And you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Didn't say let your light kind of glow and maybe let them guess about it. You have the words of life and death. Yeah, and we need to understand we are children of light. And you need to be proud of who you are in Christ. And so what do we need to do this? We need to walk in the light as He is in the light. We need to shine and not hide our light. And like I quoted Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16 says this: "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So, Christian, you're the light of the world. What does that say? Jesus has ascended. He has left believers filled with the Holy Spirit, and His last words were, "Go tell till the end of the age." No guilt. Wonder what we're doing on Wednesday nights. It's not about an evangelism program. I'm over that. It's about the fact of learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and have conversations with people about God and shine your light. Don't hide it. Can't be hidden. We need to shine. And notice, Baptists, they don't like this sometimes. I'm a Christian. I know why I'm a Baptist, okay? And there's other Christians that aren't Baptists, okay? But that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We think of good works and we're like, well, we're not saved by good works, we're not kept by works, and you're exactly right. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we'll get to that in a minute. But we are designed to do good works, that they ask the question, why do you do that? And you give a reason for the hope that you have. There's so many times that the good works are going to be the first step for us to build a relationship with that person in order to shine the light on the reason why we do those good works. Ephesians 2, 10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." And everybody's familiar with the 8 and 9, "For we're saved by grace, not by works, lest we should boast. It's a gift of God, not of ourselves." And then it goes into 10. So when you know you're saved by grace and you can't save yourself or keep your salvation, guess what the next thing is? God's designed good works for us to do, to lead to those conversations, to give a reason for the hope that we have. That's how you can shine, getting shoulder to shoulder with non-believers and doing things that help people and give the reason. That's one of the biggest things about the mission. If we just help people but don't give them the reason and point to God, how are we any different? But we try to do those things. Philippians 2:15 says this: "This is how we're supposed to be, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world." If you are going to chew on a verse this week, you need to write down Philippians 2:15. You pray, I need to chew on that for quite a while. I'm going to read that one again. This is how we're to be children of light, so that you may be blameless and pure. Didn't say perfect. But when you do something wrong, own it. Seek forgiveness. When you have a choice between doing right and wrong, choose the right thing. Children of God who are faultless. I could go to other scripture where it says, even the lost speak well of you. Didn't say perfect. But this is why you need to keep short accounts. If you've wronged somebody or whatever, you need to deal with it and go on and seek their forgiveness. Faultless. And boy, I know this isn't where we live, because we live in just a perfect world, right? In a crooked, you've all encountered that. And now we're really living in this one, and they're calling evil good and good evil. Perverted. Let me help you with what perverted is. It's just not sexual. It's anything that goes against God's design is perverted. In the sense of it's not what God designed it, and it's not been used for that generation. Paul is saying that to the Philippians. And I feel like he's saying it to us right now.
Then he's saying whatever time we are in our lives, we need to be children of God that are blameless, pure, that are faultless in the midst of crooked and perverted generation. And guess what that does? Among whom you shine like stars in the world. See, this is where we're all having problems. It is getting worse. I'm not going to lie to you. It's getting worse. I mean, I never thought I'd live through a pandemic. We never thought we'd do all this stuff. We never thought we wouldn't be able to find stuff on the grocery shelves and everything's high and all this kind of stuff. And it's just plain weird. But if you had, after COVID, 20% left the church, not just here, 20% left the church and never came back. The thing about it is they were on their way out. Statistics have proven that they were on their way out. Just COVID helped them go quicker. And then we're in a society, let's be honest, and the younger generation, I'm not picking on them, because we need to, as our older generation, we need to understand, I hate doing online chatting. That makes me want to punch a wall. Okay, I need to talk to you on the phone. I need to hear your tone. But I also need to be able to text the younger generation and do that. But what we see now with electronics, that's a neutral thing, is now I don't ever have to talk to somebody. I can be as mean as I want, go out there. Half these things that people said, if they had to meet the person, they'd get a black eye, a bloody nose, and they probably wouldn't do it again. What I'm saying is, though, everything in this generation is saying, shut up, get in your spiritual bunker with just your family, and ignore Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where he says, go. And ignore Philippians 2:15. If somebody is not going with the grain and not going with the crowd, people start noticing. It was interesting doing some disaster relief training a long time ago, and they were studying about 9/11 and talking about the towers when they were falling. It was those that thought outside the box that survived, that weren't going the regular way everybody went, but knew some different things to do. They were the ones that survived. Okay, Christians, everybody's destined to hell without Christ. We're in a time of disaster, and you know the way. Are you shining like stars in the world? Or are you trying to be a glowworm? Your last villain, following the light of Christ, we take it to the max. We shine. Now, I want you to understand this. That doesn't mean you need to get 1 Peter 3:15. Share the hope that you have, yet with gentleness and peace. You need to be clear about what you believe, but it's your kindness that leads to repentance. You need to give a reason for the hope that you have. But a lot of times Christians are like, I'm going to shine this right in your eye. You can't even see. Okay? What you need to do when I say it to the max is go with God. Do what he says. Shine. So, the decision after all this, you know, we have the cruddy light. I'm not turning it on tonight because it'll bother me. But you got the cruddy light that, wow, I'm glad it shows the window and the tree that's already lit. Or the fact of, that's where you're at. Without Christ, you're putting out some kind of glow, but you're doing nobody any good. You're not even putting out any glow. I had to take that light in, get an expert that's going to go all the way through it and re-solder it, and that thing's going to be so bright, you're going to have to wear shades. It's an 80s song, but anyway, my future's so bright, I have to wear shades. But the question I have for you today, where are you at? What kind of light are you shining? Because if you don't know Christ, you're just trying to follow whatever. You don't have anything in you except the light of Christ. How are you feeling overwhelmed, like the darkness is overtaking you, Christians? Guess what? He's right there. I decided to concentrate only on Christ Jesus and his death on the cross. Focus on God. Give it to him. What kind of life are you living? Are you just surviving, or are you thriving? And I'm not talking about financially or physically or whatever, but when you got brothers and sisters that have nothing all around the world and they have the light of Christ, that is contagious. So are you living a life, or are you living a real life in Christ? And whose child are you? Well, I'm a Christian. Are you a glowworm, or are you shining to the max? You may need to pray, you may need to deal with things, or you may just need to chew on Philippians 2:15 this week. But guys, there's no in between with God. We've got to go all the way with the time that we have. As we stand on our feet, Lord, however we need to be obedient to you, may we choose to follow your life and show